are now going to listen to KAZI Book Review with Hopeton Hay.
Welcome to KAZI Book Review. I'm Hopeton Hay. As we always do at the end of the calendar year, we have the crime fiction picks of the year. And as always with me, Scott Montgomery, crime fiction coordinator for Book People, Molly Odense, senior editor for Crime Reads. And we have our list. Now, I will admit that the true experts are Scott and Molly, but I have a little mini list here, too, that I want to share with the people that I'm going to quickly run through before I turn it over to Scott, then Molly. So on my humble list of best crime books of the year, and not necessarily in order, but at the top of the list, meaning this was an April interview, Kate Winkler Dawson. She wrote a book called American Sherlock, Murder, Forensics, and the Birth of American CSI, nonfiction book. She's actually a professor at the University of Texas at Austin. And then next, which would be on my crime fiction at the top of the list, Ivy Pakoda, These Women, an incredible book set in California. Next on my list, I'm going Austin Guys, Jeff Abbott, Never Ask Me. Another one on my list, and Scott can appreciate this one because we have a long-standing relationship, and Scott actually introduced me to this gentleman, Ace Atkins' book, The Revelators. Next on my list, Sean A. Cosby, Blacktop Wasteland. Then I have Rachel Housel Hall, And Then She's Gone. That's an author out of California. And finally, I cross the big pond and I go to Scotland and I have to talk about Denise Minas, The Less Dead. So that's my list. Six novels, one crime nonfiction book. Scott Montgomery, your turn.
Mine starts out with number one being Craig Johnson's The Next to Last Stand, Return of a Sheriff Longmire character, Blacktop Wasteland by S.A. Cosby. Just so you know, Hopeton, I'm the one with the Blacktop Wasteland. So the And number three, really great debut this year, Winter Counts by David Haska Wombly Wyden. I hope I didn't mangle that name. Takes place on the Lakota Reservation, a wonderful hard-boiled novel. A Familiar Dark by Amy Engel, the really great Rule Noir, another great Rule Noir, Poison Flood by Jordan Farmer. Number six, I've got City of Margins by William Boyle, one of my favorite up-and-coming authors. And then number seven, it's kind of a tie with the same author, More Better Deals, and his the collection of Happen Leonard stories of Mice and Minestrone by the great Joe R. Lansdale. Eight, Denise Minas, The Less Dead. Nine, wonderful, a Depression era set book called Hard Times, which just came out that really lives up to its title. And number 10, went something that not a lot of people would associate with me. I went with A Cozy by one of our Texas authors, S.C. Perkins, called Lineage Most Lethal, which is actually kind of a cozy spy thriller, if you can picture that.
Wow. And finally, we go to Molly.
So before I start on my list, just a quick shout out to fans of The Crown. Kate Winkler Dawson's first book is about a serial killer who's killing people during that big smog storm that's an episode of the first season of The Crown. So
there we go.
Everyone should check out Death in the Air while they're watching The Crown. So for my favorite crime novels of this year, first off, I went with These Women by Ivy Pakoda. I really, really loved that book. It's a multi-narrator epic set in Los Angeles that does a really novel take on the Grim Sleeper case. And then I wanted to highlight Jim Patrol and the Purple Line by Deepa Annapara. That's a debut about a killer in a Indian slum and told from the perspective of really amazing young narrators. I also wanted to number three, Blacktop Wasteland by S.A. Cosby. Number four, The Law of Lines by Hye-Yung Kyun. That one was a South Korean novel that kind of reminded me of Paris, Texas. These Violent Delights by Micah Nemirover is number 5. That's another really amazing debut. Coyotes of Carthage by Stephen Wright. That's number 6. That's also a really fantastic debut. I liked a lot of debuts this year. Then number 7, When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole. That one was a really great Jordan Peele-esque take on gentrification. Number 8, Mexican Gothic by Sylvia Moreno Garcia. That one has been described as fungal punk. We can get further into that later. Number 9, Little Cruelties by Liz Nugent. That's a gothic psychological thriller set in Ireland. And then rounding it out, Comrade Coba by Robert Littell. It's a really brilliant, thoughtful new spy thriller set in a really bizarre Russian apartment building.
Well, I do want to make a couple of editorial comments. Coyotes of Carthage, Molly, that's actually on my literary list. So I didn't think of it as a crime novel, but that's actually on my top 10 literary list. So talk to me a little bit about how that in your mind fits in as a crime novel.
I thought it would have been weird to have a top 10 list this year without a political thriller on it. And to me, Coyotes of Carthage is just such a angry, cynical take on politics. So from that perspective, it came into my heart as a crime novel, especially with the dark money aspect of the plot, since the main character is hired to flood a county with dark money in order to get the county to vote against its own interests and support a terrible new mining development.
And the other comment I want to make is I did want to read Dijon Patrol in the Purple Line. I have to get around to that novel. I got an early copy of it. I didn't get a chance to get to it. So I definitely want to go back to read that book. And Scott, you know, I love Craig Johnson. For whatever reason, I didn't even get a chance to read his novel. If you put that novel by Craig Johnson at the top of the list, then I'm gonna have to go back. I may be begging Craig Johnson for an interview. And I will blame you, Scott Montgomery, for bringing it back to my attention as your favorite book of the year. Matter of fact, every year, my daughter, Maya, often I would tell her or ask her to read the first 5 or 6 pages and look at the cover and offer some commentary on the novel. She's actually done that 6 or 7 times. I think the first time she did it for Craig, she might have been 8 or 9 years old. So I want to see if my 15-year-old daughter now, Maya, would still be interested in offering some commentary on the latest Craig Johnson novel. And of course, Scott, you and I are both big fans of Denise Mina. And I always love going to Scotland with her view of it. And I really love that the protagonist there who recognizes from the very beginning her privilege and the way she looks down on people that aren't in her social class when she's discovering who her true mother is and who her true family is, because she's a doctor and her aunt that she meets doesn't fit sort of what she thought her true birth parents would be. But let's go back to the very top. There's one novel that all three of us have on the list, Blacktop Wasteland by S.A. Cosby. And one of the things I loved about listeners, I am not editing this out. I made a mistake. I am showing my vulnerability as a radio show host. Blacktop Wasteland by S.A. Cosby. I absolutely love the novel. The issues with his father, his struggle to be a good father himself. And I just really like the thrill of the novel there. I like the speed of the novel.
The scene is amazing. Like every bit of the plot seems to take just as long as it should.
Yeah, I kind of along your lines, what amazed me about that book, there was a great buzz on this before I even read it. And I'm always like, and it sounded like my kind of book, but I also kind of thought, boy, my expectations are really high. And it exceeded my expectations. And also what just amazed me is how much he put in that book, how many different just shades and character things and subplots and things with the family, and then this very sort of intricate, you know, heist crime novel with a heist that goes wrong, so you got to do another heist. And it all was still very tight and very seamless and just moved. It moved like the protagonist's car in that. It just moved fast and never let up, but you felt like you just had just a full emotional read, and then also just a very kick butt crime novel at the same time.
And it follows the internal logic of its own universe really well. So I was like waiting for a really dramatic like car scene, and I won't give away what it is, but like you're waiting the whole time for a car to do something extra awesome, and then it does something extra awesome.
Well, one of the things that S.A. Cosby told me in the interview was that he was going to write a traditional heist novel. He had not intended to have the depth and emotional layers in terms of the relationship of the protagonist with his father that disappeared. His father was also a criminal. That really wasn't his intention. It was also an exploration of the relationship he had with his own father. So I thought it was just such a fascinating and risky an excellent move on his part to bring those layers, that emotional depth, that relationship between the protagonist and his father.
And I guess that's what sort of puts it in that rural noir category for me, as well as the heist category, because it has the setting and it also has the emotional complexity.
Yeah, it does have that whole kind of idea of the cycle of family, which and breaking that kind of hopeless cycle in a lot of rural noir. I love the fact, though, that you're able to appreciate a great car chase, Molly. I feel like you've come over to my side a little bit more on this.
I actually prefer reading good car chases, unless it's Mad Max.
So let's talk a little bit about these women. And I did that interview, gosh, I think that was back in June that I did that interview with Ivy Pakoda. And I'm going to tell you, Molly and I have that book in common, but I am such a fan of Ivy Pakoda, and she's originally on the East Coast. Now she's on the West Coast, setting these novels in Los Angeles with her new adopted home. And I didn't know anything about the serial killer in Los Angeles that was killing young women, sex workers at that point in time, and women that worked in clubs. And so the way she brings this very sympathetic or deep understanding of the challenges and issues that these women face, you know, just really, in my mind, Molly, just really just painted a true broad picture of the women.
And there's something that that these women and The Less Dead, the Denise Mina book that was on both of your lists, have in common, and that they both kind of examine the narrative of serial killers more as a failure of policing to protect vulnerable members of society than they do as like some kind of particularly skillful serial killer. So I really like that we've demythologized the cult of the serial killer to the point where we can look at these stories of people who've killed many, many people and still see them as not particularly effective. They just aren't caught.
And Scott, with the title, The Less Dead, that actually represents, I think, an opinion in terms of how women of sex workers are just not given the same level of protection, that when a sex worker is murdered, that the police don't put the same effort that they put toward trying to solve the murder of others.
Yes. And that's, I mean, and one thing I always love about Denise's work is she does a wonderful job of entwining the personal with the political in her work. And I thought this one was one that she really did that. And not only in a great job, but in like one of her most kind of accessible ways as a writer too. I've noticed like her last couple of books seem to be, whether intended or not, reaching out to a broader audience, but she still hasn't lost like her integrity as a writer and what she does as a writer. I'm friends with Denise. She's also just a wonderful person. That's very much from her heart, I believe.
And she also examines domestic abuse in this particular novel, because the protagonist's best friend is in a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
I really wanted Denise Mina to write more historical novels too, though, because I love The Long Drop so much.
Yeah.
The Long Drop was great. It was still, it was great.
The 1950s again.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to KAZI Book Review on KAZI 80.7 FM. I'm Hopeton Hay. This is the end of the year, the list of the best crime books of 2020. With me, Molly Odent, senior editor of Crime Reads, and Scott Montgomery, crime fiction coordinator of Book People. They gave you their top 10 lists. I gave you my top seven, kind of eight lists. I kind of had Coyotes of Carthage on my literary list. I did want to talk a little bit about And Then She's Gone by Rachel Housel Hall. Set in California, a young woman who's a private investigator, and it's about toxic relationships that women are having with men. And one of the things I really liked about her protagonist is how she revealed her vulnerabilities, some of the her iPhone battery would die, her lipstick's not on correctly. I mean, she paints her protagonist as just, to me, just such a real person that you can just really identify with and look at. Yeah, I know that person. I know that person who needs to pull their pants up just right. And so I just really like the ordinariness, the ordinary flaws that her character had.
Rachel is incredibly gifted as far as having you connect with her protagonist at like a very human level. I haven't read any of her. I've only read a couple of her books, but both of them, that just really works really well. That just, you get the messiness of their lives.
I loved her latest, and I really hope that it's the start of another long series, because it's a really compelling Private Eye.
Oh, absolutely. And I got to have you talk about Craig Johnson. Tell me what I missed with this novel.
I will admit, with this, if it was in a different year, this might not have been number one. But I was at a point when the book came out, we were kind of halfway through, you know, lockdown and just a bunch of horrible things happening in the news and around. And this was just a wonderful comfort food of a book. And I don't mean that in a dismissive terms, because it's also very smartly written. It is a murder mystery, but a murder doesn't happen until very, very late into the book. It's sort of like the Maltese Falcon, except the MacGuffin in this is the historic lost painting of the Custer's last fight, that is mainly associated with the Anheuser-Busch Brewing Company, because they did a bunch of reprints and put them in bars all around the country. And the original was gone in a fire right after World War II. Craig kind of paints the idea that what if that didn't happen, and the painting has been rediscovered, and it's been kind of possibly being trying to be sold a kind of on the underground art scene. And so you have our protagonist, Sheriff Walt Longmire, who's not the most, cosmopolitan of protagonists, dealing with the art world and the Western art world. And you get to see him in a tux and having to deal with that. And it's one of his funnier books, but I hope it doesn't get dismissed as just that, because they're like, with his work, still waters run deep. And there's a lot about vets. There's a lot about soldiers who continue that, you know, fighting wars that are done with the way we look at different battles. There's a great discussion with him and his other sheriff, the sheriff Lucian that was before him, discussing how every battle that's really remembered is one where it was a losing battle. It's just a really wonderful, rich book. And if you're wanting a good escapist book, it's really wonderful on that end.
So Mala, you and I are both agreed. Our favorite crime fiction novel of the year was These Women by Ivy Pakoda. We've talked about it, but what about your number two, Dejen Patrol and The Purple Line? Give us some more detail on that novel.
That one, it was a debut, but it really felt like such an incredibly mature novel. It was really shocking that it was a debut. And I thought the narrators and the setting were both really compelling. The setting is very tight-knit, very underprivileged neighborhood that is in the grips of being attacked by a serial killer, but also rising anti-Muslim nationalist sentiment and the narrators are 12 years old. It's mostly one narrator who's a 12-year-old boy. And he brings this sort of innocent naivete to depicting the world around him that infinitely increases the sadness. And it was just really well done.
Well, I have to say that when I talked about Asa Atkins and The Revelators, this was a Quinn Coulson novel. And one of my favorite villains, I don't know if you guys agree, but one of my favorite villains is the female villain from all these Quinn Coulson novels, yeah, who starts off Fanny. Working at a strip. What, say that again?
Fanny.
Fanny, yes. Yeah. And the arc of that villain, because at the very beginning, I was kind of empathetic for her. And the arc ends with this particular novel. But I think Fanny was one of my favorite villains in a contemporary series that lasts several books.
And she comes to an end in a very unpredictable way, but in a perfect way for that, for the way that series went. It was one that just missed my top 10 of this year.
And she was a queenpin. And so let's get that straight, that she ultimately became the villain, the queenpin in this, the main antagonist of Quinn Coulson. Because all his other antagonists ended up going to jail, right, Scott?
Yeah, one's coming back, though, it looks like.
Oh, yeah, one has got out. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, we shouldn't be saying that. Sorry, Ace. Scott did it. I didn't do it. And I do want to talk a little bit about Never Ask Me, because there is a sort of a espionage kind of international flair to that Jeff Abbott novel. And one of the reasons I like reading the Jeff Abbott novels is sometimes I want to break from the gore and for a lot of killing. And so it does give me that particular kind of break. It does feel like, okay, I can actually let my daughter read this particular novel, especially, by the way, I'm proud to say my daughter's becoming a crime fiction fan. And so that's something that's growing with her, but I'm watching closely the crime fiction that she reads. But I've always been a fan of Jeff Abbott and his Austin area based novels, that sort of domestic type of thriller. Would you guys call some of his novels?
Well, he started off with more classic thriller and then switched over to domestic recently. Thriller.
Yeah, I would call him more suburban thriller, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah, no suburban was, domestic thriller, yeah.
Yeah, and no one was doing that for West Austin, and I'm just really happy that Jeff Abbott is doing that now, because that area really deserves some good psychological thrillers.
I'm sorry, I just looked down on my list and I realized there's nothing your daughter can read on it on mine.
Remember the conversation we had about how dark was, how much noir-ish was Blacktop Wasteland?
Well, it's kind of weird. I'm looking at my list between 1 and 10. It's like, you know, two more or less light comfort reads, and then everything else is just bleak and dark and grisly.
Oh, she could totally read Mexican Gothic.
Yeah. Tell us about Mexican Gothic, Molly.
Limited sex scenes, language, and violence. Mexican Gothic was so good. It's this really fun book set in the 1950s about a woman whose cousin gets married to this really creepy dude, and then she has to go to his creepy manor house to free her cousin from his clutches and the clutches of his weird British family that likes to exploit Mexican workers. And there's a lot of references to the golden age of Mexican cinema, and it reminded me about how much I love movies made in Mexico in the 1950s. So that was also really nice.
Interesting. So let's go ahead and go through the top 10 lists again. We only have a few minutes left, and so I'll start off with you, Scott. Go through your top 10 list again.
Sure. Next to Last Stand, Craig Johnson. Blacktop Wasteland, S.A. Cosby. Winter Counts by David Haskell, 1B Wyden. Really stand-up book, really, with that. Familiar Dark by Amy Engel. Poison Flood by Jordan Farmer. City of Margins by William Boyle. More Better Deals and Of Mice and Minestrone by Joe Lansdale. The Less Dead by Denise Mina. Hard Times by Les Edgerton. Lineage Most Lethal by S.C. Perkins. I'd also like to add the graphic novel Pulp by Sean Baker.
No, you can't add the last. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
And Sean Phillips, the artist.
All right. So, Molly, you can read off your 10. And if there's one more that pops in your mind at the end, go ahead and add that. Go ahead.
Add one. Yeah. All right. Number one, These Women by Ivy Pacoda. Number two, Jim Patrol and the Purple Line by Deepa Anapara. Three, Blacktop Wasteland by S.A. Cosby. Four, The Law of Lines by Hye Young Pyun. Five, These Violent Delights by Micah Nemerover. Six, Coyotes of Carthage by Stephen Wright. Seven, When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole. Eight, Mexican Gothic by Sylvia Moreno Garcia. Okay. Nine, Little Cruelties by Liz Nugent. 10, Comrade Coba by Robert Littell. And I'm going to add a nonfiction one onto there. I loved Dark Archives by Megan Rosenblum. That was the book that I scared you guys with about books bound in human skin. It's
amazing. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And it will change your life.
I'm getting creeped out again.
To consider alternatives to cremation, because apparently cremation is really bad for the environment.
Wow. And let me go through my list again real quick. Ivy Pacoda, These Women, Jeff Abbott, Never Ask Me, Ace Atkins, The Revelators, Blacktop Wasteland by S.A. Cosby, And Then She's Gone by Rachel Housel Hall, The Less Dead by Denise Miner, and I added to the list, because of Molly, The Coyotes of Carthage by Stephen Wright. And the one novel we all three had in common was Blacktop Wasteland by S.A. Cosby. These Women by Ivy Pacoda, both Molly and I had that novel on our list. And The Less Dead by Denise Miner, both Scott and I had it on our list. Give us your website addresses once again. We'll start with you, Molly.
You can go to crimereads.com to get all the latest in crime fiction thoughts.
Scott?
Mystery People at mysterypeople.wordpress.com. So, or wordpress.com. Google Mystery People, you'll find us.
And if you're listening and you could not write down the list, I will be publishing this list on the KAZI Book Review Facebook page, and that's Facebook page, KAZI Book Review. So look it up. Once again, Scott Montgomery, Crime Fiction Coordinator of Book People, Molly Odent, Senior Editor of Crime Reads. I'm Hopeton Hay, host of KAZI Book Review. We just presented to you our best crime books of 2020. Once again, it will be available on the Facebook page of KAZI Book Review. Thank you for listening to this podcast edition of KAZI Book Review. I'm Hopeton Hay. Subscribe to us under Hopeton Hay Podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and many other sources of podcasts. If you like this interview, be sure to rate it. Rate it a 5. Give us 5 stars. You can follow KAZI Book Review on Twitter under at KAZI Books. You can also follow us under Facebook under KAZI Book Review with Hopeton Hay. And you can also follow us on Instagram under KAZI_book_review. Thank you once again for listening to the KAZI Book Review podcast.